Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our coming days study, we were talking about the destruction and slaughter of the Jewish people throughout the history of Israel. Let's continue with that today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Israel's first monarchy was actually in around 1000 BC. Then they went to captivity around 600 BC. They were back in the land, recognized as their own, but in subjection. And then they went into captivity again. Okay, for 70 years they went into captivity. They built a second temple that was destroyed in AD 70 under the Roman general Titus. Not the same as the book of Titus, okay? However, Jewish life in Palestine flourished with large communities established in Jerusalem by AD 200. Around AD 700, the 7th century, Islam, on its military campaigns, destroyed much of the land and killed multitudes of the Jews. Now, that's just plain documented history. However, a Jewish community was flourishing again by the 9th century in Tiberias, which is another town. I enjoy visiting that when we go to Israel. Because you go in the Sea of Tiberias, you know, the Sea of Galilee, and that's where we take a boat ride. But that in the 11th century, after that in the 11th century, should I say, Jewish communities spread to Gaza, to Ashkelon, to Jaffa, and to Caesarea. Oh, I love Caesarea as well when we go there. However, in the 12th century, multitudes of Jews were massacred by the Roman Crusaders as Roman Catholicism killed not only Jews, but many Christians. 60 million died over a period of a few hundred years under this attack, and again, various historical records confirm that. But the community rebounded over the next 300 years with many rabbis and priests in Jerusalem and the community surrounding the Galilee. Early in the 19th century, more than 10,000 Jews lived throughout the land that we today call Israel. When Jews began to immigrate to Palestine in large numbers in 1882, there were fewer than 250,000 Arabs in that area. On top of that, there was no independent Arab or Palestinian state that existed then, nor has ever existed in the past. Never. In 1917, during the Balfour Declaration, in England, a local Arab leader, I'm going to crucify this name, I guess, because I probably won't do a good job in saying it. But the Arab leader was Ani Bey Abdu Hadij. No, that's A-U-N-I-B-E-Y A-B-D-U-L H-A-D-I. So, Ani Bey Abdul Hadi. I'm probably massacred that, and I didn't mean to. I just don't know the right pronunciation. But he told the Peel Commission, that's P-E-E-L, there is no such country as Palestine. Palestine is the term the Zionists invented. There is no Palestine in the Bible. Our country was for centuries a part of Syria. Now again, that's that Palestinian leader, that Arab leader, that made those statements. Palestine, Arab nationalism, did not become a significant political movement until after the 1967 Six-Day War with Israel, when Israel captured the West Bank, as we said, in a defensive war. Now, I remember that because I was graduating from high school in 1967, and I remember some of the kids talking to me in line. We were lining up to walk in to receive our diplomas, saying, "What do you think about this? You think this has to do with the end of the time?" And I thought it was quite interesting that this young man that I knew, but I didn't think was a Christian, was very concerned about that. So again, the point is, Israel has maintained a presence for nearly 3,500 years in that land. It is documented. As a matter of fact, those areas around Jerusalem, in 1948, the armies, particularly of Jordan, drove out many of the Jews who owned land. And they told them to either leave or be killed. But in the 1967 war, those landowners came back to their land. They reclaimed what was occupied land by Jordan in the 1967 war, which they fought in defense of their life and liberty. I've seen some walls there in Jerusalem when I've been visiting over there, where you can see still where bullets hit, bouncing off the wall in that war. Now, look at the rest of the text verse. It speaks of the millennium here in Jeremiah. And again, just in case you've lost your place, I've shared with you a lot of scriptures, but I don't want you to get lost in this thing, because we're looking at Jeremiah, and we're looking at chapter 23, okay? So, again, I hope you're right back there and you're with us on this, because this is what this part of returning to Israel is about. So, we look at the rest of the text verse, and it speaks of the millennium, and he will bring them again to their folds. Israel is now in the land, and they need to be there and prospering when the tribulation starts. So one can see God's hand in Israel today, although men do not see it because they are without Christ, who are in positions of power. The Bible tells us they shall be fruitful and increase. The Bible promise is of the harvest being so great in the millennium that after it is all taken in, it will be time to plant again. Even today, the land that was so desolate has been made productive by Israel. I've had an opportunity to plant a tree over there. The land belongs to Israel scripturally and historically. God will curse those who curse Israel, and he will bless those who bless Israel. I say that to say this: everything is coming together. Jews are returning. Now, again, this is not the returning at the end of the tribulation, but during the tribulation, we see that Israel is a nation, Jews have returned, and an Antichrist sets up a covenant with them that really establishes them even more strongly until the middle of the tribulation. But at the beginning of the tribulation, it seems like Israel's thriving. After the Psalm 83 war, they're not in danger as they are today of being attacked. Everything is coming together before Russia comes against Israel, and maybe before the walls are taken down in Israel. And they will be, because we find out that Russia, when they come down in Ezekiel 38 and 39, they're coming down to the land of unwalled villages. But before those walls come down, there is a rapture. And the rapture could take place at any moment. So here's a land that the people, who were away from it nearly 2,000 years in the sense of being a nation, although there were people there all the time, but you have never heard of any other people doing that. Only Israel. You say, why? Why? Because that was God's promise, my friend. He will keep them, and he will preserve a remnant forever. And he has. Now, as we see them coming back together, it tells us the rapture is near because these are signs of the tribulation, and we are out of here because the tribulation, we miss it. Jesus is coming. So, before we proceed further, are you 100% sure that if the rapture took place today, that you will be caught up to be with the Lord? Hey, make sure you're saved today, won't you? And let me just say this for mothers and dads out there listening. Are you right with God? Your dad, your mother? Let's imagine that your child is in an accident. And the doctor comes out from the surgery and says, only prayer will save your child now. We've done all we can. My question is, you say you're saved, but do you have that power with God that he would hear your prayers? Do you have that power with God? Are you living for him? Are you walking with him? Are you doing his will? Now, having just looked at all this that we've just considered returning to Israel, now I want you to see something else around Israel, and that is a 3,500-year-old prophecy coming true. So now our text moves to Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 13 through 19, because now we're seeing a 3,500-year-old prophecy coming true. There we read in Deuteronomy 33, verse 13 through 19, and of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that toucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things brought forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth, and fullness thereof, and for the good will of him that dwelt in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation.